everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene.
Hey.
It's true.
What's up?
I was just thinking in that one moment as I said the introduction, I am now binding books together. So if I started a podcast about bookbinding, which I think is a terrible idea
books
because...
Books bound.
It would be, yeah, it would like be books bound.
Or books abound maybe would be better.
Books rebound? I'm not rebinding them.
Yeah, your story is kind of all over the place.
God damn it, it is a narrative nightmare. Speaking of binding, I thought it would be fun to do a little update.
Oh, yeah.
Because, so basically we pre-recorded one episode. The episode that came out last week with the wonderful Julia, mm-hmm. that was a little bit pre-recorded because of whatever, our schedules. But the episode before that is when I really talked at length about marbled papers.
Yes.
And... But for me, that was less than a week ago.
So strange, yeah.
A week ago, not even a week ago. And so, for me, not that much time has passed since I've done my marbling. And I wanted to show you guys the first finished book
it's so pretty.
That I have made. Thank you, Raylene.
I am obsessed with it.
I know. I'm really glad that you like this one so much because it's got a bunch of mistakes, but it is not a bunch of mistakes. There's a couple of things that I did wrong. The paper on the inside should be like half an inch shorter because it's kind of like it will stick out at the bottom a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't make the binding tight, the stitching tight enough. There's a couple of mistakes, but overall I'm really, really, really happy with it. As my first journal that I made with my own paper.
And you did that at home by yourself, right? Like you didn't
yes.
do it in
no,
any special
place. No, it was just
place.
Me. It so was cool. so exciting. It was so exciting. And now I want to show you, really. I've started on another. I started it this morning when I should have been emailing. Literally, I should be emailing my accountant. And instead I was like, I'm going to make another journal.
That's,
that's
hilarious.
A little too stressful. I've started this one.
Oh, it's so cute and small.
Which I'm trying to show really. Oh,
that's
it
nice. It looks like a latte.
Yes, it does.
That
it
is
was part of my
paper.
Brown
wow.
series. but it's like literally, I still have the needle and stitch. Like
oh
I'm
gosh.
In the middle of stitching the sheets.
That's
and
incredible.
Here is the rest of the paper
wow.
And the other cover. So everything still needs to be stitched together. But
yeah.
I'm having a very good time. And I'm going to, I'm going to keep doing this type of book, which is called a Coptic stitch, because I think it would be really great to, like, become super good at doing the Coptic stitch and, like, feel, like, really confident. Because right now I'm still, like, having to check, oh, wait, what do I do next? Oh, what do I do next?
Yeah.
But if I could just do it, like, without having to think about it and just be like, okay, now I know how to do Coptic stitch binding. So I'm going to do a couple of journals in this binding and then I'll switch to a different thing and...
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. I'm trying to just be a little bit not precious about it, which I find with crafting often holds me back where I'm like, it's got to be perfect. I've got to redo that. No. I'm just going to
It'll never
be
get
a
finished.
Factory.
It'll never get finished if you have that mindset all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly. So that's a little update on my bookbinding. The other update I needed to do was that I went to an event. Yeah, that's right. I go to events sometimes. So I went to an event in Kentville, and that is in our wonderful Nova Scotia, and it's it was for Gaspereau Press, who is a publisher here in Nova Scotia, and they do letterpress books.
Ooh, okay.
So they have letterpress machines, and I took a little video for the B-roll here and stuff, but they have letterpress machines, wood type, metal type, it was Raylene. It was so much fun.
Oh, yes.
It was such a blast. I got to letterpress print some stuff. Here's like a random sheet that I got to press some lino prints and stuff.
Cool.
And I got some... Yeah, the other huge thing... I didn't even finish that sentence because I'm so excited. I got to print some other stuff is what I was trying to say. But the other thing is because like they do this event every year... But I think this might be the first one since COVID.
Okay.
But they used to like do this every year. But what they do as well is that because it's a giant print shop, this is so exciting, Raylene. Because it's a giant print shop, they have a lot of offcuts of like they'll be making books and they'll have a lot of paper that they can't use anymore, but it's good quality paper. And so it was on sale. So I got all of these new bookbinding supplies for $5. The rule was one handful is $5, and I can hold this in one hand. So I got it all for $5, and I would have so been okay if they were like, that counts as two or three handfuls. Yeah. I would have been like, yeah, that's still such a bargain. Because like really high quality paper and like cardboard is expensive.
Yeah,
but they're clearly like, we're just throw it away. So they're like, we're going to make a bit of money. And mainly, I think they just wanted to, you know, like offer paper to people who couldn't usually get fancy papers.
That's awesome.
So I got these really lovely papers in different colors, which I can use in different ways in books. But the biggest win, like I swear to God, I was like, I freaked out, is this book board. So this is the cardboard that I need to use to wrap the marbled paper
around. To make the hardcover.
This is what becomes the hardcover. Exactly. And I don't have very much. Like, I have enough to maybe make one more journal. Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to have to find where to buy it. it was actually going to stop me from making books. And then we went to this event. It was so much fun. And I got all of this book board. So now I have enough to make like a dozen journals or something.
So are you only able to get more of it at that event, or can you go back to this place, you know, when the event's not happening?
That's a good cue. I bet you they always have off cuts. So I probably could just ask them if I can like come occasionally and just pick stuff up, because that would be super easy. But the other thing is, my bookbinding teacher in Halifax, she sells it. I can get it from her as well. So there are some spots. I wanted to also show you some of the other beautiful posters that I got. This is just a really lovely letterpressed print that says Nova Scotia on it, which I love. and this is by my new friend at Woodshed Press. Katie at Woodshed Press. She has a press in Middleton. I think it was Middleton. I haven't been, so I don't remember. But I'll link to her Instagram, because this is my Raylene. I think we're at the beginning of a lifelong rabbit hole.
I believe it.
There was this printer there whose name is Amos Kennedy. So much fun. He he uses the hashtag. I think it was hashtag Amos Kennedy's School of Bad Printing. And so the whole ethos is just like having fun with printing and not worrying about it being perfect. And he was such a blast. He's like my new favorite printer. He was so funny and cool. He was so cool. Anyways, he's like an older man, and he wears overalls and a pink shirt all of the time. Oh. Like, it's his uniform.
Yeah.
He's a very cool dude. But he had these prints that you could grab. This one says, live your life, forget your age. Mm-hmm. Love that. Love that. This one, be satisfied with the needs instead of the wants. Hot damn. And then this one I just kind of grabbed last minute because it reminded me of Orwell. A good lie finds more believers than a bad truth. So got some fun prints, got to do printing, got to meet printers, got to hear talks. So I will also link to Gaspero Press, because they ran such a great event, and I think they're a cool page to follow because they do all this letterpress printing stuff all of the time, and it was really, really awesome.
Wow, that is super cool.
I met a subscriber. She was so nice. Please, God, I think her name was Jen. God, I'm terrible with names. But she was really nice, and she came up, and she was like, she was just really lovely, and it was great to talk to her, and she was an accountant, and then suddenly I started talking about accounting with her, and I was like, I'm so sorry. Let's talk about books again. The other thing I needed to mention, Ray, I went to 3 bookshops.
Oh, heck yeah. Is it because you were nearby when you went to this event? Or?
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to do a little circle here. So I did Black Cat Books in Kentville.
That sounds cool.
That was lovely. And I will insert some footage here because I did take footage of all of them. That was a really great bookshop. I got you something there that you can't see yet.
Oh, is it a cat?
It's a full cat. Then I also went to The Odd Book in Wolfville, and I got look at this thing. genuinely. Oh my gosh. This is Shakespeare's sonnets in perhaps the prettiest edition I've ever seen. I don't think it's old. Like, I think it's like a newer
printing. It's just like a cool, tiny little, like,
yes, fine, just done in a really beautiful way. This is like my new favorite book. Yeah. I'm obsessed with it. It just has such good, you know how people say mouth feel about food? It has really good hand feel. Like, it just feels nice to
and, like,
hold.
You could put it in your little pocket.
Yeah.
Carry it around.
I love this shop. The Odd Book, it was really cool. There were so many books and there was an upstairs, and it was, like, it was a used bookstore.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very largely, like, books like this, where it was just, like, the guy clearly is trying to find cool editions of stuff and rarer books and stuff. And when I was paying for this, he said to me, he was like, I think all poetry should be like this. And I was like, you know what? I kind of agree with you, actually, because I like love the pocketbook editions of, you know, Lunch Poems and Howl. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're little. And I'm like, I think there is something about having a small poetry maybe should be kind of smaller and handier and like, I don't know.
But also, like, a little leather-bound hardcover is so incredible. Because if you think back to, like, you know, imagine somebody in, like, a Jane Austen novel reading a book.
Yes.
Like, what would they be reading? They'd be reading that.
This. Exactly.
That's the vibe.
Yeah, you're totally right.
I always
loved
books like that as a kid. Like, if I would go over to some random, you know, adult's house that my mom, like, took me with her or whatever, and they happened to have cool books like that, I would just, like, take them off the shelf and, like, look at them because I love them so much. Like, I have no idea what they would have been about, but I would have happily taken them all and read them all.
I also went to another shop, and I literally don't know where I put the bookmark that I got there. That's okay. The book shop was called Reader's Haven in Windsor. It was a lovely shop, and it was a lovely lady who owns the shop, and I asked her how long had she been, like, how long had she had the shop for, and she said, that she was like, next month it will be 20 years, and I was like, oh my god. I thought she was about to say, like, in 1 month we hit a year. No, it was in a month or two or something. It was 20 or
that's
25
wild.
years. I was like, that's so cool. And she said that they'd been in 4 different locations in Windsor, but that she now has this shop. It was really lovely. And I told her about, I tell everyone whenever I go into one of these bookshops, I tell them I'm doing this project,
right?
And I'm trying to visit every bookshop in Nova Scotia, and they're always so excited about it. And I, and she was like, well, I think I have the neatest used bookshop in Nova Scotia. And she's totally right. It was so tidy. Really tidy.
Oh, I thought
really
she's been like the most nifty, like the
neato.
Coolest.
Yeah. I know. I thought she meant that as well at the beginning, but then she was just like, I really care about stuff being neat and tidy.
I love that.
It was really neat and tidy. Like, a lot of used bookstores, and it's a fun vibe as well, but a lot of them are just like, there's books everywhere, piles and stacks. She was like meticulous. It was a very tidy shop, which was lovely.
That's awesome.
So that's 3 more on the list, baby.
Oh my goodness.
I think I'm going to do it.
I think you can too. You just got to
still
power ahead starting now.
Power. Yeah. All right. I didn't mean to take that long in the intro, but I had so many things to tell you, Raylene.
Yeah, no kidding.
Before we dive in, today we're doing a fun episode. We're going to be rating bookish things out of 10. I think this is our third episode doing this.
I think so, yeah.
We will link to the other two down below as well. God, I'm keep making a lot of promises here. Before we jump into that, one final little bit of housekeeping. As of today, November 6th, our bookmark subscription is open. So this is a lot of fun, you guys. It's really fun way to get beautiful bookmarks. It's a really fun way to get cute mail. But it's also a really great way to support the podcast. So if you want cute mail, great bookmarks, and to support the pod, let me tell you about this great
Can't
deal.
Go wrong.
You can sign up for our bookmark club 4 times throughout the year. You'll be sent beautiful bookmarks where we collaborated with the bookmark artist and hired them specifically to create beautiful bookmarks. Mm-hmm. We already have 2 of the artists lined up for next year, and they are out of this world fantastic and exciting. You also get 2 stickers, and you get a little video from us talking about the bookmarks and recommending you a book to read with the bookmark. Mm-hmm. So it's a little package, and the window is only open for 2 weeks, so you have to sign up now.
Yeah.
no right now because you can't sign up again for next year. Like, if you want to participate next year, you have to sign up today or
today
at some period in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. That was all of the updates, I think, Ray. Did you have any things you wanted to mention on the top?
I mean, I just realized I never really talked about the big party that I did with my friends.
Yes.
So I'll briefly talk about it. I won't go into too much detail because I could literally be here for 3 hours trying to explain it. But essentially, it was my very good friend Rebecca's birthday recently. And so Julia, who was just on the podcast last week, Julia and I decided to concoct a very elaborate party plan for her. Because we started doing this last year, like each of us, like the two different pairs or whatever, we would all come up with crazy ideas for each other's birthdays and just like make it a big surprise. And it was so fun. And so we decided to do that, but like extra crazy this year. And so because we're all obsessed with Stardew Valley, like we love Stardew. We have a farm together that we've almost reached perfection on. We love it. Mm. We decided to do this like big Stardew themed party for Rebecca. And she's also obsessed with puzzles. Like she loves trivia, any kind of puzzle. She loves it. So we thought we would combine those two loves and make like a almost like an escape room type of vibe where there was, you know, a clue that would lead to another clue that would lead to another clue that would, you know, and so it ended up being this huge undertaking that took us probably 40 hours of planning to come up with, honestly. Like, it was a really, really crazy party. And I came dressed as Professor Snail, for anybody who's played Stardew Valley will know. It was Ginger Island themed, and Julia was the mysterious Mrs. Key. So that won't mean a lot to a lot of people, but to the people who know, you know, it was pretty cool. It was pretty awesome, so all in all, it went really well, and was I'm glad it's over, so I can like I can just focus on like reading and stuff again.
Yeah.
Because the planning was so much. It was so much.
It was so elaborate.
Yeah.
It was. There were so many puzzles that led to other puzzles.
And there was different
that
currencies. Like we had multiple different currencies that Rebecca could earn, which she then had to use to buy things that would help her solve the final puzzle and stuff like that. There was invisible ink involved.
There was also, didn't she have to use a different currency to buy drinks?
Yeah. We gave her bones, which she could use to buy hints if she was feeling lost, but she could also, she could use them to buy almost anything. We also gave her a recorder that if she wanted to earn more bones, she just had to play us a little song every now and then.
Oh my God,
and I would determine if it was good enough for her to get lots of bones or maybe just one bone. It was very funny. It was very silly.
A couple of weeks ago, Raylene and I called just for fun to read a graphic novel, Mamo, which we talked about.
Yeah.
But in that call, Raylene also just told me every detail of the party, and I swear to God, it was 45 minutes of Raylene just going from top to bottom, explaining every puzzle, every hint, clue, mini side quest game. Like, she's like, so this is the fishing game. I'll hide under a blanket while feeding, and I was like, what's happening? And as I said, I just think is really relatable for people who like Parks and Recs. It so reminded me of Ben Wyatt explaining the Cones of Dunshire and just being like, this is, and the review in the show is, this game is punishingly intricate. That's what it felt like, where I was just like, this is an incredible amount of detail. And I just super respect it. Like, I just think it's so cool that you and Julia went so hard.
And we're not
so
good
elaborate
at puzzles either. That was the funny thing, is we were like bamboozled by the whole thing. We were like, I don't know how to make this good. And we were trying to like make the puzzles connect. And I just want to say, this will maybe be the last thing I say about it, but my favorite puzzle that we did, so it all starts like with Rebecca finding a clue that's a picture of a gorilla with his hand out like this, and he looks really sad. And next to the picture, there's a pile of different Play-Doh colors. And Rebecca immediately goes, I know exactly what I have to do. And we were like, okay. And so what she had to do was craft a banana out of the yellow Play-Doh, obviously. And then she had to go to the kitchen and place it in a bowl that already had a bunch of bananas, but it also had the little sleeve of Bananagrams. If you've ever seen Bananagrams, yes. It's this Scrabble-like game, but it comes in a little banana pouch. So there was bananas, Bananagrams, and then she had to put the Play-Doh banana on it, and then that was her, like, winning the next clue, which was then she had to use the Bananagram letters to spell out something that would lead her to the next clue, and I'm really proud of that. I really think that that worked out really well.
It was beautifully, intricately made and done.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I liked how many bananas that were involved. It was great. But also, the gorilla and banana thing is something from Ginger Island and Stardew Valley. Like, it's all... Yeah. It all comes back to the game, and everything made sense. We even had the gem birds. Like, there's a lot. I won't go more into it because it's crazy.
You saying it's all about the game is Adam Wyatt saying it's all about the cones. You've forgotten. It's all about the cones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. I'm glad that it went really well, and I'm glad that that you're now free of it as well.
I'm free, but we're also starting to plan for next year already. Give it more time.
That's good.
If this is what we could do with 2 months of planning, what could we do with the whole year?
That's so funny. That reminds me of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where they are planning the Halloween prank, yeah. 2 years in advance or whatever.
I love it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, yesterday we recorded the Julia episode, and right after recording, we just, obviously chatted for a little while, and Julia just said, I think maybe we had too many currencies.
It was so much that, when you saying the punishingly intricate thing was so accurate to this, because Rebecca was just overwhelmed. She was like, what is happening? Why do you want me to play Junimo Kart while I'm also trying to do this quest? What's happening? It was hectic. It took four hours, but it was worth it.
It was an entire evening. That's great.
Though. Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Well, let us transition to our book game.
Yeah.
So today we are rating things out of 10. We have a master spreadsheet, which I will also be linking down below. Yep. If you want to participate, you can look at this spreadsheet, rate the things that we've rated before. And today we're going to be adding 10 new things. Well, we'll see how many things we'll add. We'll see how many things we add to the spreadsheet today. But Raylene, how about you start us off? And people can see how the game works as we begin.
Yes. So the kind of prompt that I am going to be starting with is listening to an audiobook narrated by the author.
Very interesting.
What would you rate that out of 10?
I will give this a 9.5.
Ooh.
Here's the situation. I believe this to be the superior method of audiobooking.
Mm.
When it is read by the author, I feel like we're getting the purest form of the thing.
Yeah.
Because they know what parts to read sad, what parts it's to true. Read angry, what parts to really emphasize. And so I feel like we're getting the truest experience.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, it's like some authors were not meant to read things out loud.
Totally. That's what I was just thinking.
And it has happened to me before where I'm like, ooh, I think maybe they should have hired a professional. So that's a tricky call. But honestly, overall, it's been the best for me when that happens. And so, yes, I give it a very high rating.
What about you? I agree. I think I'll go with 9 because I feel like it also depends on the situation / book. I think if we were specifying that it was nonfiction or memoirs, I would say 10 out of 10. Like, it should always be the author reading that. When it comes to fiction, I think there's a little bit more wiggle room. Like, obviously, we've got authors like Neil Gaiman who have a great voice. And that's exactly what you want when you're listening to an audiobook is like a Neil Gaiman type person reading it. But then, there are times where it's like, nah, this doesn't really fit. They could have hired someone. Mm. So, but I would say, exactly like you said, generally, it's the best. So 9. We'll go 9.
That gives us a overall Books Unbound rating average of 9.25.
Mm, thank you.
So we really like that.
Yeah, we do.
Is there anything else that has a 9.25? No, the closest thing is the feeling of starting a new book, which we gave an average of 9.4.
We just love that.
We just really love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so my prompt is, when the first page of the book isn't actually page one.
Oh.
So what I mean by that is when you open to page one of text, the story has begun, but the page number is like page four or page 12. I hate that shit. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I give this experience a two. I have a little bit of sympathy for it because I understand that they're trying to count the frontispiece and the whatever, the title page and stuff. But I think page one of a book is page one of the text.
It should be.
You know what? Yeah. I'm giving it a one. I give this experience a one. That's it always funny. Bothers me. It's a pet peeve.
Okay, well, it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you. I think I would actually give it a five because...
What?
Okay, here's my reasoning. Sometimes it, like, just the fact of it not being page one irritates me a little bit.
Yeah.
But what I like is you're now 10 pages further into the book than you thought you were.
I do know what you mean.
You know? Like, you're starting off, like... in first place. You're ahead of the race. You're ahead of the game. Especially if it's a long book, it's kind of like, oh, okay, so the book is 1,000 pages, but I'm already on page 12, so it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. So there's like a little bit of okayness about it. Like
it gives you a boost. You get it gives me a little boost,
and it doesn't bother me enough to like bring it down further than that in my rating. So I would say 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have had that. I totally know what you mean. I've had that experience with like textbooks before, whatever, like a book that I'm reading for school, where I'm like, oh, here we go. And by the time I actually get to page one, it's already like page 32 because there was so much nonsense at the beginning of the book. And that does feel exciting, actually. So you are right about that. But it doesn't matter because overall, we've given it an average of 3 stars. Another thing that has an average of 3 stars for us is the feeling of reading a hardcover book with the dust jacket on.
Ugh. Gross.
All right. What is your next one?
Okay. Next one is just books with sprayed edges.
Oh!
Like on the pages. Mm. For people who don't know, that's just like when the outside of the pages are colored.
A color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or black or whatever.
This is interesting. I think when I was a teenager, this impressed me more. Like I was I loved it. Yeah, I'm like, this is the highest form of quality. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, this is so, so fancy. Now I would say it really, really depends because... if it's like a really bright color or kind of an obnoxious thing, I actually don't like it. Like I just, I won't buy that copy. If it's like a fancy marbled edge on like an older book or just very classily done, then I'm like, wow, that's really pretty and unique. Mm-hmm. So I feel very like, ooh, middling about it. I think I'm going to give it like a 7.
That's what I was gonna say too. Actually, I would go 7. Yeah, because I do quite. Yeah, like I do quite like the effect of it. Like, but I wouldn't want every book to have it. So I wouldn't say like 10 out of 10. Put a sprayed edge on every book. I also think it looks better on hardcovers, and I feel like paperbacks with sprayed edges are like a 2 for me. Like I don't like that as much. I don't know why, but like Six of Crows is a really good example of like. The sprayed edge is really making a book look cool because, like, it's got a dark gray cover and black sprayed edges, and it just is, like, very dramatic. And I think that that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So, yeah. No, I think that makes sense. Overall, we're giving it a 7. So we like it.
Yeah.
But we don't love it, and it's not, like, universal. Mm-hmm. If it's done well, it's done well. If it's not, it's, like, maybe...
Exactly. And I guess while we're on the topic, I have a question that I don't know if you'll know the answer to. Mm. Have you ever seen, like, on older books where sometimes just one side will be sprayed but not the rest?
Yeah.
Do you know why that is?
I don't know why that is, and I wish I did. It's usually the top.
Yeah.
Why? They will have done like ink to the top red or something. Yeah, and not
I'm
the
sure
sides.
Someone will know the answer to that. So maybe let us know.
Maybe that will be. I like this. This will be my bookbinding research question. I will report back with an intricate answer next week.
Please do, because there has to be a reason. It's always the top
bookbinding.
But also sometimes like the top and side, but not bottom. Like it's it's so
wide
weird.
Top or only one side on old books. Okay, I've written that down. I won't forget. All right, my next, we're going to keep on the topic of edges.
Ooh.
Because I realized we never actually, I think we used it as an example right at the beginning, but we never actually officially ranked deckled edges.
Did we not?
No, it's not on our spreadsheet, so we must not have.
I guess we didn't. Yeah, we debated about it a long time ago.
Yes, and we also did French flaps.
Oh, so yeah, in the same family.
It's in the same family. Yep. The kind of very just a book section. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about Deckled Edges?
I think Deckled Edges are a 10 out of 10.
Wow!
I defended them back then and I'll defend them now. I think that they're amazing. And like, not only because this was my big like finishing move in that debate was that Deckled Edges don't give you paper cuts.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm just bringing that back. I think that that's very solid. They're very soft on the sides.
They
and
are soft.
I don't find that they're hard to turn because, as we discussed in the debate, I turn my pages from the top, not from the side. And what else? I feel like there's something about Deckled Edges that I don't really like remember how they're made or where they come from, but they're like, aren't they like the natural way that a book gets cut or something like that?
Yeah, so I mean, I actually do know the answer to this one, and it's very cool. The reason for Deckled Edges is really cool. However, now it's fake. Like all Deckled Edges that you buy in the shop are manufactured to look like a facsimile of the why we originally had Deckled Edges. It's interesting. It's just like because of the way that books were made a really long time ago, not all books, but most books, certain books were made, they were given to you with the pages still not cut.
Yeah.
So each page would be folded to the next side,
so you'd have to, like, because knife of it the open. Way
so you would letter cut it open. Yeah, like, you know, like when people have letter openers or whatever. Yeah, they would use those themselves at home and their own books. And so you'd be cutting open your own books, or you'd have a letter cutter, like a person who was a book cutter who would do it for you, or whatever. But because of the process of binding the book, you had to cut them yourself, and that you just naturally wouldn't do it perfectly because it would be difficult to do it perfectly. So you would have all these kind of deckled edges. Now we just do it because it looks pretty and it reminds us of the past.
That's true. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's true too. Like, I do love like the vibe of an older book tradition or something. Like, there's something about that I just really like. And
this is a big big question. It's a big cue because, like, we did have that whole debate about it, and maybe we can find what episode that was on.
It was like episode 3. It would be so easy to find.
Okay, cool. So I'll link really to that Deckled Edge debate episode. I'll link to that in the show notes as well if you want to go back and listen to that episode.
It was hilarious. But
it was a really funny episode. And we always kind of intend to do more of these like book debates, but we just don't really disagree about that many things.
It would have been fake debates. Like, we would have had to pretend to fight.
I do like the aesthetic of a deckled edge. Like, if I'm looking at a book on a desk and it has deckled edges, I think it looks really romantic and beautiful. That being said, I find the impracticality of it so annoying. Mm. I guess I do a combination of flipping the page from the top or from the side. You can't. You, like, literally can't flip through a book that has deckled edges.
Yeah.
Because it gets, like, caught. Like, I don't like that you can't do that. I don't like that if you want to search through, you have to just use the top. So I find it really frustrating. I also don't like that, like, when you, like, kind of rest your hand on it or finger on it or whatever, it's kind of folding some of the pages because they stick out a little bit more than others. But I also hate the fakeness of it. It's fake.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not actually deckled. It's produced by a machine in a factory to remind us of what deckled edges were once. So that fakeness, that grinds my gears. So I'm going to give it a 2.
Ooh.
Because I do see the appeal of the aesthetics of it.
Mm-hmm. That's so
funny. That means it gets an average
of
6. We'll never agree. And I don't want us to. I think that's the first 6 we've ever gotten, actually.
Oh, interesting.
That is the first 6 we've ever gotten.
Yeah, that's a pretty wide, we're far apart from each other on that one.
I'm looking at one we both gave 2.6 to.
One of us just said it and the other one was like, yes, I agree.
2.6 was given to when you carry a book with you all day long, but you don't read a single page from it.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, that's painful.
Such a 2.6 energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's your next one?
Okay, so my next one is kind of like on the same train as my sprayed edges thing a little bit. When the font in a book is a color other than black.
Oh my god.
How does that make
you
feel?
That's very interesting. When the font... of a book is a color other than black.
For example, I can't remember which book it was, but there was a book a long time ago where the font was purple. And then there was also Legend by Marie Lu, I think was one where it was like burgundy or something. Like, what was that all about?
Totally.
You know what I mean?
That's rare.
Yeah, like, it doesn't really happen that much.
It's really rare. Like, I don't think that I've read a book in the last 5 years that had a book that didn't have black.
I think it's mainly a YA thing, probably.
Yeah, it's like obviously like a special edition thing or like a, it's, I think the reason that I'm about to give this a 3 is because it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's a gimmick.
I agree.
It has no functional purpose. Because if the point of font is to be readable or to portray something about the books, like you would pick a font because like it matches the concept of the book a bit better than a different font. But the main function of font is utility. We need it to be readable. Mm-hmm. And no font is going to be more readable than black font on white paper.
Yeah.
100%. Like that's always going to be the highest contrast, most readable thing. Mm-hmm. And I can just imagine like reading a purple font. It's just not going to be as legible.
Yeah.
For a gimmicky reason. But it could be fun. I could see that as fun. I could see it more like I'm thinking of graphic novels, for example, mm-hmm. where like it's like in graphic novels, it doesn't bother me because it's color is part of the experience.
Yeah.
Or there's like I can imagine books where like one word is a color or other.
Yeah,
like
I feel like if it's used in a more specific way, like another example would be House of Leaves. There's a lot of text that's in red, but it's just specific things that are in red. And it like adds to the reading experience. So in cases like that, I would probably rank it higher, which is why I guess if I'm going like overall in all the different ways, it could be 2.6. Yeah, like it's not the worst thing, but it's definitely not good.
All right. So what is 5.6 divided by 20? We give it a 2.8 overall. That's funny. Okay, yeah, we don't like that. We've decided we don't like that. Okay, I've got another really general one.
Okay.
I was enjoying the general ones when I was writing this.
Yeah.
This is going to be controversial, I think.
Okay.
Short story collections.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. Because generally I do say, like, oh, I love short story collections, but almost never, or maybe even never, have I given a short story collection 5 stars. Like, I've never encountered a short story collection that was like, boom, 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 every single story was perfect. And that's just like the general kind of risk with short story collections. So I think I would say short story collections are like a 7.5 for me. Because in general, I think they're great. I love short fiction because it's just a totally different genre in itself almost than long form fiction, because you know, say in 10 pages the author's trying to get a certain message across, and so they might do it in a really wacky weird way that would never happen in a full-length novel, and I just love that. I love that it makes the stories a bit different. But that being said, collections, it's different from just a short story. This is we're talking about it as a collective, and that's when it gets a little risky, you know. You're not always gonna love every single one. And yeah, I guess that's all I have to say.
I really agree with almost everything you said there. I think I am leaning a lower grade than you are. I don't want to. It's insane. The whole exercise is obviously insane. Like, what am I saying? Short story collections are. But I'm. Yeah, whatever. 6.8 is what I'm giving it. I think that. I don't know. I've just found that for myself, and this is obviously the whole point of this exercise is like personal. You could give it a 10. I don't understand really what a short story collection is trying to do in the way that I understand what a novel is trying to do or what a poetry collection is trying to do. Like, those make sense in my brain, but I find short story collections to just usually not be as cohesive.
Yeah.
I find them to usually have such high variance where I read like 2 or 3 really good short stories in a collection and the rest I don't like. And I hate that high variance.
Yeah.
And I just just never gravitate towards them. And like, usually if I find a book that sounds interesting and then I realize it's a short story collection, I'm instantly turned off, which is really fascinating because I know that short story collections are really hard for publishers to sell. People don't like them.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. And that's why usually like you don't have people that are short story authors very often.
Yeah, that's
their only thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like really
while we're on
to
the topic, I actually just want to recommend a couple of short story collections to you and to the listeners because I feel like these are the two that I've read that have like done it the best. The first one is Skin by Roald Dahl. This one is so good and actually perfect for the season, although it's after Halloween now when this comes out. But every single story, the whole like shtick of the whole collection is that each one has some kind of twist. And so you don't know when it's going to come or what form it's going to come in, but there's always a twist. And a lot of them are dark and kind of spoopy, which is really fun. So I love that collection. And almost every single story was like a knockout. And then the other one is Unclean Jobs for Women and Girls by Alyssa Nutting.
I've talked
about this one since the beginning of this podcast. It's just so good. And it's all about like women and girls. It's literally like a very female led story collection. And you just get to see lots of different perspectives on the female experience, which is really good. And I, once again, just feel like this collection knocks it out of the park. Like there was maybe only one or two stories I didn't connect with as much. But overall, they're all awesome.
I could definitely see this my mind changing on this if I read a couple of really great short
stories. That's the thing. You just have to read the right ones. It's so hard to find them.
Yeah.
And it is personal, too. Like, it has to be one tailored to you, you know? Like, I don't know if you would like Skin by Roald Dahl, but...
I'm thinking of, like, Dubliners. Incredible. Like, that to me is probably the most famous and most highly acclaimed short story collection of all time.
Yep,
I'm gonna stand by that. I do think that. I might be missing one, but whatever. That's the only one that I'm like, Good Man Is Hard to Find, Flannery O'Connor. I really enjoyed that
one. Are either
one.
Of
but
those
then,
like stories that are connected to each other? I'm just wondering.
Nope.
Okay.
Well, Dubliners, all of the stories are set in Dublin.
Yeah.
So they have that in common, but they're not
actually
the
connected.
Character.
Okay.
No.
That's curious. I was just wondering if that was maybe something you would prefer in a short story collection where like they all kind of one leads to another, to another, to another. Like A Visit from the Goon Squad is a very good example of it's kind of like a novel told through short stories. Mm-hmm. So that could be like a good in-between maybe for people who are unsure.
Interesting. Yeah. All right, Ray, what's your next prompt?
Oh, here's one that's kind of similar to one that you did earlier. When you think there's lots of pages left in a book, but it's all index and bibliography, etc. afterwards or whatever.
I think I'm going to give this a, you know what? I'm going to give it a 5. Give it a 5 because I do, like, on the one hand, it's not the book's fault.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it has to give you that information. It has to have its index. Mm-hmm. It has to have its whatever it is that it has there that's taking up all those pages.
Yeah.
But so it's not his fault. The book didn't know that you were making assumptions.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it does feel like a trick. It feels like a little trick that everyone pulled on me because I wasn't expecting it.
Mm.
Okay? It's a surprise. I thought one thing was happening, but it turns out a different thing was happening. Nobody likes that. I think I can give it a 5. What do you think?
I think I would give it a 7 because I similarly to my whole like, oh, you start the book and it's already page 10. I kind of like the surprise of being like, oh, there's a little bit like, I don't know. It's not that I want to read less, but like for some reason, it's just like exciting to me to be like, oh, okay, the story, like, oh, it's wrapping up a little more quickly than I thought. Like, a lot of times I'll kind of know how many pages I have left in a book as I'm, like, nearing the end.
Yeah.
And so to kind of be surprised every now and then is kind of fun. Also, I would say usually I know if there's going to be index or bibliography. Like, a lot of times I like to flip through my books, like, periodically while I'm reading them just to see, like, what's going on at the end. Not to, like, read ahead or anything like that, but just to get an idea. So a lot of times I'll know, especially if I'm reading, like, a Game of Thrones book. There's a huge, like, family history, like, index at the back of every single book.
Yeah.
So I already know that's going to be there. So sometimes it's not a surprise. But when it happens, it is kind of fun. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. You know what? This is revealing that one of the things that you do like is when you realize you'll be finishing a book sooner than you thought.
Yeah.
Like, that is clearly something that brings you joy.
I like finishing books so that I can then move on to another book. And, like, knowing that I can finish it a little bit sooner is definitely an exciting feeling for
me. Yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
It is.
I feel the same. Whenever I'm like, I'm about to finish this, this means I can start another one.
Like, actually, that reminds me of a fun fact about me from when I was a kid. I used to, like, not finish almost every book I read. Like, I would just, like, give up before, like, 2 pages before it was over. Because I was like, I just don't care what happens in the last 2 pages. I'm done.
And you were so excited to start the next one?
I don't know why I did that. But that was something I did almost every time I read a book.
That's so fascinating. Isn't that weird? It shows that this is not new.
No,
that this
I've been doing it since I was a child.
You're trying to power through.
And, like, the types of books really I was reading, the last page probably didn't have any kind of, you know, important reveals or anything like that, because it was just like a Magic Treehouse book or whatever.
God, I love Magic Treehouse books. That's fascinating, really. And we're really learning about your psychology.
I know. I'm so strange and messed up.
Okay, here's another controversial one.
Yep.
We kind of talked about this on the last episode, not the Julia episode, the one before that.
Oh yeah.
Audible originals. Audible originals. Lay it out for me. What do you think?
That's a 0 out of 10.
That's a 0. I'm also going to give it a 0.
I think that an audiobook should never be exclusive, not only to like one streaming service or whatever you want to call it, but also specifically to like a retailer that we don't like. You know what I mean? I think that that's just wrong.
You know what? I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to give it a 0.5.
Okay.
Because here's why. I completely agree with you, right? Like, I completely agree with you. First of all, I just think that it goes against the ethos of books and libraries and reading.
Yeah, like, you could never get it for free unless you're doing a trial.
You can never get
whatever,
it for free. And I just think that that's ugly. Like, I don't know. There's something. And it's like, what is fair? And it's like, I don't think there is such thing as fair, actually. Like, nobody deserves any. Do you know what I mean? Than human rights, obviously. But like, like, what do people deserve? You don't deserve anything, I guess. But like, I just think that there's this beautiful, weird loophole with reading, where for some reason we have all collectively agreed that books should be free at the library. I think that's so beautiful. And the idea that this one giant corporation is like, actually, we have a horrible loophole that destroys that beautiful loophole.
That's true.
Which means we can produce books that you will never get to hear unless you give us money. I'm like, that is so nasty. Because obviously with a library, you don't get to just get whatever book whenever you want it. You usually have to wait because there's only a few copies that your community is sharing or whatever. But you can eventually get it. Yeah. You can eventually find
it. If you're patient, you will get it.
Not with Audible Originals. They're like, we're putting it behind this paywall and no one else will ever get access to it. The reason that I'm giving it a 0.5, though, is because some of them are so good.
I was
good.
Just going to say, I think I'm going to change my answer. Yeah,
like, a lot of them are so good. And, like, I, like you guys, like, I've told you guys, like, I just keep doing free trials so that I don't actually, I am not giving them money. But, like, the Diane Keaton reading Joan Didion, I'm like, that's genius. Or Rosamund Pike reading Pride and Prejudice. Or Rachel McAdams reading Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with all of, like, the big, amazing actors and actresses doing readings of, like, classic novels. Like, I want to listen to all of those.
Oh, it's so
cool. I don't
want
to pay for it.
That's so frustrating.
That's true. I'll change my answer to 0.5 because I agree. Like, they are using the money that they are getting from...
for something cool.
To do something cool with it. Like, I mean, there probably are a bunch of Audible originals that are just normal audiobooks and whatever, but they do have some that are, like, above and beyond what you would normally see. So, fine, 0.5.
Yeah, one thing I will say, this reminded me that do you remember that years ago I got to be on the Life's Library podcast with John Green and Rosianna Hulse Rojas? Mm-hmm. And that was such a, like, oh my God, it was so special. The book I wanted to read with them was So You've Been Publicly Shamed.
Oh, yeah.
But they said that I wasn't allowed to pick it, and I totally agree, but because their reasoning was people can't get the audiobook from the library, and they want people to be able to get the books from the library if they want, and so they couldn't do books that had Audible originals. And I was like, I totally respect and agree with that move. Yeah. But that was a, yeah, it was frustrating.
Bummer.
I was mad at Audible.
As you
mad
be.
At Audible.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more each, Ray.
Okay, sounds good.
What do you
want
to do as your last one?
Okay, my last one is connected to audiobooks, so I'll do that again.
Okay.
Yep. Listening to an audiobook while playing a video game.
Ooh.
How does that feel?
Listening to an audiobook while playing a video game. That's interesting. When it's peak, it's peak. That's what I will say.
Yeah.
Because when I'm listening to an audiobook and I'm playing a video game and they're in a harmony where mm-hmm. the video game is just interesting enough that it's keeping me focused.
Yeah.
And I'm like having a nice, calm, fun time playing this cozy game. And the audiobook is great enough that it's like, but not like, it's not it's so complicated that I can't, that yeah, I have to just yeah. like focus on it. When those two things are harmonizing, it feels like a peak experience mm-hmm. and like is kind of maybe actually one of like my favorite audiobook listening experiences
yeah.
is that like I'll be playing Stardew Valley and I'll be listening to a game and I'm just like, this is really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it goes wrong, it can be very frustrating. So
yeah.
I've had experiences where I'm like doing something in the game and it becomes very engrossing. And so then I'm paying attention to the game and then I realize, oh God, I don't remember what I just listened to and I've got to rewind.
Uh-oh.
And it's a little annoying because maybe my phone is somewhere else or like whatever. And I'm like, oh God, I got to put the game down, pause the game, do this, rewind,
yeah.
rewind. No, I missed it again, rewind. And like the back and forth is not
yeah,
very
that's
pleasant.
Not good.
But overall, I think it's really fun. So I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Ooh, very good. I was going to give it an 8. So I think I'll stick
okay.
with my gut. I agree with, yeah, pretty much everything you said. I am quite particular when I pick what game I'm going to play and also which book I'm listening to. Like, if I was listening to something really complicated that I really want to focus in on, I just wouldn't listen to it while playing a video
Definitely
game.
Definitely not.
But
yeah.
I find listening to memoirs works really well because it's like listening to a podcast. And I also like
yep.
listening to, like, interview videos while I'm playing video games. So it kind of all fits. I feel like I'm able to focus on it better for some reason. I guess not having like an actual story to follow is very important when you're kind of distracted, I think, because I feel like we've talked about before, listening to fiction on audio, you just have to like focus a little bit more because it's so easy
yes.
that if you miss one sentence, it could just derail the whole thing.
Totally.
And you
totally.
Don't know what's happening suddenly in the story. Whereas with a memoir, it's like not as do or die, you know?
Totally.
So I generally love the experience and I've kind of figured out a way to make it work for me.
Mm.
But at the same time, you do kind of have to make adjustments. And so that's, you know, where I knock a couple of points off. And also I found that I have to listen to them a little bit slower. Instead of
yeah.
listening to them super sped up, I just have to listen to them on regular speed or like 1.25 at the maximum, just to make sure I'm not missing anything. But also if you're playing a video game that has any kind of dialogue, that screws it up. So you've got to pick your games carefully. Because I find it, the moment I start reading something on the screen, whoosh, nothing's in my ears anymore.
Yeah. Yes. It's super true. So, yeah.
I generally love it, though.
I generally
love it. And especially a lot of times I'll just play Mario Kart. So it's very
oh,
easy.
Oh, yeah.
I find that game very, very mindless because I'm
yeah.
so good at it.
I'm just so great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that gives it an average of 8.25
very good.
From the team.
Very nice.
My final one is going, my final prompt is when you want to check how many pages are left in your chapter, you flip the page
uh-huh.
and you're like, oh, nope. You flip and you have to keep flipping so much longer than you thought you would.
Oh, that's such a specific feeling. I love that. I would give that feeling, just gut reaction, that's like a 2.5. I really,
yeah.
really don't like that. Because when
nope.
you're checking to see how many pages are left in your chapter, it's because you want the chapter to be over soon.
Exactly.
The reason you're doing it is because you're like, oh, I'll just finish this chapter and then I'll go to bed. And
yeah.
the moment you realize there's just a few too many pages,
yep.
you're like, okay, this is a moment I have to make a big decision. Do I stay up later than I should or do I stop in the middle of a chapter? And that is just a devastating feeling. Nobody wants to feel that. That's why I respect books with short chapters so much. Like just
yeah.
generally short chapters. So you never have to worry about that. You're like, oh, each chapter is 3 or 4 pages. It's no problem. And then you never even have to have that moment where you're
mm-hmm.
like, oh, I wonder. You just know. And I love
you
that.
You just know.
Yeah.
2.5, huh?
2.5.
I think Okay, what was the one that we both gave 2.6 to? That was, can you, when you carry a book with you all day, but you don't read a single page from it. I think that I detest that more than I detest this.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm going to give this a 2.8 so that our average
of 2.65 or something.
2.8 plus 2.5 is 5.3 divided by 20 equals 2.65. Yes. Wow. So it just beats out the other one.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I totally agree. Basically, I had this happen to me like 2 nights ago where I was like, I was literally, it was exactly like you played it out, really. I was in bed. It was late at night. I was enjoying the book, but I was like, I'm liking the book I'm reading, but I was just like, I'm just tired now and I want this to be over so that I can put the book to bed. And I'm like, how many pages are left? And I do a flip and I'm like, okay, flip. What? Oh God, this is longer than flip.
Worse and worse.
No. And I was like, what do I do? And I looked at the time and I was like, I'm just going to finish it because I want to. Like, the book that I'm reading is, like, very segmented. Okay. I was like, so if I finish tonight, then tomorrow when I pick it back up, it will be better. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it was a frustrating moment. yeah, so I give that a 2.8 for overall a 2.65 average. So of the books that, or of the thingies that we ranked today, I don't think we got any new highs or any new lows.
Wouldn't Audible one be the lowest we've ever done?
The lowest, actually, yeah. Audible Originals overall got a 0.5 rating from us.
Yeah.
That ties it with covers that have a velvety texture.
Oh, yeah. That's like my least favorite thing. I hate that more than Audible Originals.
Yeah, you gave that a zero.
that's my least favorite.
But then the highest thing we rated today was listening to an audiobook read by the author.
Oh.
We gave that a 9.25.
Pretty good.
I kind of regret giving it that high.
We can change our answers.
No, I don't. No, it's peak. It's good. It's good.
It is good.
So, like we mentioned, everyone, this spreadsheet will be linked in the description if you want to check it out and play along. It's there. If you want to add to it, that would, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And thank you all so much for hanging out with us. Like we mentioned, our Bookmark Club subscription is now open. That is linked in the description and show notes. Check it out if you want to join. It's a lot of fun. And we're now going to record our Patreon-only mini podcast, Movie Tub, where we talk about the shows and movies we've been watching. We'll see you there. Okay. Bye.
Bye.